And the host of the panel, James Duthie, is in studio. How you doing, James?
8 or 9 more years of that contract we have, which is okay, but hopefully the next 2 or 3 might be a little rough.
You're bracing yourself for that?
Yeah.
So who's the panel tonight?
The panel is Dave Poulin and myself. It's a light panel. We do lighter panels for the Sens.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like, it is what it is.
It sucks for
Pooley because he's got a...
the size of the panel...
You're literally going to have to come up with some video yourself.
Is proportionate to the prognostication for success of the season. So Leafs panel, big panel this season.
So would TSN ever hear anything from Ottawa saying, like, where's the other guys or what's going on here?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for the day where it's just me. I got to do a 4-minute soliloquy in the intermission about the Huge. So I want to tell you, exhibition hockey, I've said it a million times, I hate it. I know there's a lot of excitement.
There's some bad games, man. Bad lineups.
You know, it's good in this market. You get to see Tavares. You get to see the different combinations. That's all good. The fights for spots on D. But I'm sure everybody listening and all, we just want to get this thing started, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you're going to go to a game in the nation's capital tonight. Hey, the Chicago Blackhawks are in town. All right?
And keep in mind, you have to have 8 pros.
I don't know that this is the case here. So the Chicago Blackhawks, let's go over some of the guys you want to see.
Seabrook, Keith.
No Seabrook.
Kane.
No
Keith.
No Kane. No Taves. Here is your Chicago Blackhawks lineup tonight. I'll give it to you. Down the middle, Jordan Schrader, Marcus Kruger. Okay, he's an NHLer. Marcus Edsel, Dominique Cahoon, Anthony Lewis. Down the left side for your Chicago Blackhawks tonight, Andreas Martinsson, Graham Knott, Terry Broadhurst. On the right side tonight for your Chicago Blackhawks, John Hayden, Matheson Iacapella, and Dylan Sakura. Your defense tonight, Brandon Davidson, NHLer, somewhat. Dominic Cahoon, Henry Yakaharju, or whatever how the heck you say that one. I haven't said it in a while. Dennis Gilbert, Yanni Tolula, Luke Snuggerud, and Eric Gustafson. There is your Chicago Blackhawks
lineup.
Here's
what's scary, James. They're favored in Vegas.
I didn't give your goalies. It's Matt Tompkins and Colin Delia.
They're favored in Vegas.
They're favored in Vegas.
Well, do they look?
I think you just fade Ottawa. That's the new rule.
Oh, yeah.
You just fade Ottawa.
No, but I think tonight, if this is the night.
This is the night.
This should be guaranteed win night.
Right.
At Canadian Tire Center.
This is
their greatest chance.
This is Baker Mayfield's coming out, and they're finally going to win tonight. That is a pathetic lineup.
It is sad. And Pooley and I were going back and forth today. Like he was. There are rules, as you say. There are rules for exhibition games that you have to dress, as you say, 8 or 10 pros or veterans or first round picks or whatever it may be. I'm not sure that the
You're
Hawks are
infraction?
Right on the line here.
Calling
right
infraction
on
this.
I am
James,
calling
your
for a fine
podcast with your Canadian happiness.
Oh, the
correspondence.
Reporter happiness rankings. That's Puffy who does that, not me. But Brent Wallace is always last. He's always the most miserable, no matter what's going on.
He's just miserable no matter what.
Yeah, that's what. I mean, it's the running gag we put him there. Orleski's usually pretty happy. Wind's blowing in her hair. Lalji, he's just coaching football. Basically, however his high school football team is doing, if they're doing well, he's up near the top of the list. Rashog, he had some downtime last year with the whole Montoya saga. But I think he's doing really well right now, riding a wave. Jermaine Franklin, always a happy guy. Mark Masters, if he's at Wimbledon, usually up high. That's the way it goes.
All right.
Any other thoughts?
There's a lot to get into here. You guys prepared for this?
Yeah.
Why don't we go around the table?
It's not a big table. There's 3 of us.
No, it's not. There's 3 of us in here. But with radio, it's the, you know how it is, man. It's the theater of the mind.
Okay.
Place a points total on McDavid's season, presuming health, 82 games, where you say, where's the limit where you say, that's insane. He's not doing
that. What did he get last year? Do you have that?
He had 108 points.
I think he's going to get 125 points this year.
That feels high.
Did you see the
What did he play in games last year? Did he miss he was pretty close to a full season,
I think he
right?
played 82 last year. Real close to it anyway.
I'll say 115. I'm still not convinced of the guys around him. Puljujärvi, is he going to be his star winger? He looked, that one goal was nice last night.
Like, he's got a night.
I thought it was McDavid. I had the volume down on the Puljujärvi for a second, and I'm like, that guy was flying. But I'm not sure if he can still be a full-time. You still need that. For a 125 number, you got to have a guy next to him who's going to score 35 or 40 goals, no?
Nugent Hopkins might get 30 himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to rely on your teammates.
Okay, so I say 115, you say 125, Hayes?
I didn't say anything. Yeah, I think he goes up over last year. Again, he's played all 82 games the past 2 years. In 16-17, McDavid had 100 points. Last year, he had 108.
He had 108 last year, and he was sick for like 3 months.
And he's not playing with anybody, and their power play, I believe, was terrible. Their special teams was like atrocious. I may have that wrong. The penalty kill, I know, was brutal, but I'm not sure the power play was that great.
Mm-hmm.
But I expect him to just keep ascending north. You know, I think he hits 115 for sure. Like, I think if he's healthy, he's 115. Because he's better. Somehow he's better.
Yeah, I think he should be a lock to score 50 goals. Like, he's going to get three breakaways a game. Because
he's entering, without lack of a better term, his man years, right? Like, 19, 18, 20 years. But now, this sort of 20, what is he, 21 now?
Yeah, 21 to 27.
21, these are the years, right? And so, stronger, shouldn't get pushed around whatsoever.
Yeah. The guys that skate with him in the summer say, the defensemen say, like good NHL defensemen say, it's just no contest.
Well,
you do those drills where it's like the forward takes off and the D-man's got to kind of close. They can't.
You saw Trouba last night.
Yeah.
That's Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, Trouba and Morrissey were backed in and into the goal crease.
He was basically on top of the crease because McDavid was coming through the neutral zone and he's like, I'm dead. Yeah, I have no chance. Like, what? Maybe this is the way to phrase it because the eras are, this is the way to adjust to an era. When Gretzky was doing his thing, like I remember my dad telling me when they did fantasy pools in the 80s, no one was allowed to draft Gretzky because it was like whoever gets first pick, that's a joke.
That was
you win the pool.
That was everybody. My time, sadly.
Right,
I'm on the same par with. But
how much of a gap do you expect between McDavid at one in points and the second player in the league? Do you think he can separate himself by 20 points?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think that's possible for sure.
Then he's probably got to do over 120 points. Because Giroux had 100-plus last year. Kucherov had 100-plus. I think there was a McKinnon maybe just hit 100 or close to it.
I said 125, and I'm not even going to get in my car and say, was I being crazy?
20's a lot more than the next guy. That would be some kind of season.
I think he can. I think he's going to do it. I think 125 points is almost a lock. And I know I'm all horned up because of what I saw in the highlights last night. I was like, I was having lunch. I was like, what the hell?
You're being the quiz master. You're being reactionary to one game. That's what he does. He sees one highlight and he changes. It'll be like Panarin will have a good game. Is Panarin the best player in the world right now?
That's on the quiz?
that's on the quiz every day. I think we've had that question 47,000 times. And, the talk of McDavid is that he's faster. But the stuff that comes out of training sessions just makes me laugh. I'm sure you guys have had this discussion. The best shape ever thing is the greatest thing in hockey because every year there's 200 guys that are in the greatest shape ever.
Yeah, and then Jake Dodge.
Did you ever come to camp and your agent or you said best shape of his life? He's quicker. He's a good 2 steps quicker.
No, I was telling Brian yesterday. Paul Maurice put his hand on my shoulder. I was just having a coffee like a month before camp. He just put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, you're like big, right? And I go, what are you talking about? He was like, your neck and your, like, you're just big. And I was like, oh boy, this is after I got rid of the guy, finally, after 10 years of them. And then he gets hired by the Leafs.
Well, you and I were talking about the kid in Tampa the other night. I don't know if it's come up on the show yet, who came in 35 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
According to Bob McKenzie, and just got released from his contract. And a decent player who had a chance to play big minutes in Tampa this year. And I asked, what's the most out of shape you ever came in? Because that's absolutely, like, you're throwing away potentially millions of dollars by doing that. And I understand some people have issues that way.
There must be
something else going on in your life, right?
It screams of, to me, sending a message that I don't want to play hockey anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it kind of speaks to me. You know, Jake Dodgson is who we're talking about, and he was 30 pounds overweight and like a 25% body fat. And maybe he had something going on, maybe he had surgery, I don't know. But playing amateur psychologist, it kind of speaks to me like, you know what, I didn't want to go to the gym, and I don't know if I want to play. You know, and I know I'm contractually obligated and I'm getting down here, but even if it was like subliminal, you know, something's going on because you're a pro player. You know you can't show up. There's no way he got on a flight down to Tampa thinking this is going to go over well. You know, like there's no way you're on your way down.
Look at yourself a week before camp and you say, like, what have I done here?
Yeah. You're like, I'm in big trouble. I'm in big, big trouble.
But did you ever say that to yourself, Jeff? Like, were you ever a week before camp going, uh-oh? Honestly.
Well, I remember I had surgery, and I kept going down there to the rink, and they were like, oh, you can't do anything. You just got to... I'm like, I can ride the bike. It's my shoulder. Like, I can hold my arm like this. And listen, it's on the player. I mean, but when they say you don't do anything, and then all of a sudden, I looked at the scale, like... July 31st, and it said 241.
And what was your playing weight?
Like 215. And I was just, I got my elliptical, and every night I put a garbage bag on, and I was just riding the elliptical for an hour.
I wish there was video of that that existed.
Cutting weight.
Yeah, I was living at my parents' house because my house was being built, and I got the elliptical in my bedroom, and I was just riding it for an hour at night.
The ultimate fighter. Cutting weight. You've got
to
make
it. What'd you get down to?
I didn't get down to enough. 220, I told you, 228.
We got down, okay.
James Duthie in studio. Rasmus Dahlin will not be at the Scotiabank Arena tonight. He's going to play in Buffalo tomorrow, but where does he rank in terms of your must-see TV-type players?
Yeah, right there. I'm trying to think of a defenseman that in his first year dominated recently. Yeah, I mean, I don't know when his first year was Doughty great. Maybe it took till year two. I think there was moments for Doughty.
Ekblad won Rookie of the Year.
I think Doughty played on the Olympic team his first year, James.
No, it wasn't his first year. It was his second.
I feel like it was the second, wasn't it?
I think he was 20. It was close, but I think he was in his second year.
Well, you're talking about Van? Because he was the Ottawa draft. The Stamkos draft was 08 or 09. Anyway. I saw enough of the kid at the World Junior that he's absolutely dazzling, and I just wonder in his first year in the NHL, he still looks like a kid. We do that at the draft. We always do that, you know, at the Stanley Cup Final. They bring the prospects in, and we do a little sit down, a little quiz with the five of them, and he's another one that just looked like this is the only judgment I have of these like five top prospects of who looks the most mature and ready for the National Hockey League. And I remember Mittelstadt, the kid in Buffalo, like 2 years ago, I'm like, this kid looks 14. Like, he can't play in the NHL, and he looks fantastic right now. Dahlin still looked like a really wide-eyed kid there, and I always wonder when you get to the National Hockey League, but boy, when he gets on the ice, he's something else. So I would say he's like a top five must-see player early in the season.
Yeah, for me, he is, for sure. Just watching highlights forever, because it's been a storm, right? Like, when you play, when you've got a phenom in Europe, it's kind of like Matthews a little bit. Like, Matthews played that draft year in Switzerland, and all you'd see is YouTube. You know, and he showed up at the World Juniors, and Dahlin performed incredibly well, and he put on a show. But in 2018, it's all about YouTube. So all you see is the highlights. You know, they're not showing him getting blown past or taking a stupid penalty. So you just assume this guy is flawless.
Right.
You know, and first overall, he plays with a cockiness and arrogance that I really appreciate. And I hope they don't try to beat it out of him. He's got to be careful. He can't be silly and careless. But there's a thin line, and I feel like he's going to straddle that. And if he falls on the right side of it, he's going to be a blast to watch.
I actually think Buffalo, for the first time in a long time, it's not must-see TV like you feel about kind of the Oilers for a team you don't necessarily care about, but you need to watch them. But Buffalo's close to that. Because this Mittelstadt kid I was talking about, like at the World Juniors, he was unbelievable. He was the best forward by eons at the World Juniors last year. And to have him and Eichel and Dahlin now together, that'll be something to watch.
James Duthie in studio. Speaking of kids making their debut, have you seen this kid for the Leafs that's going to play tonight?
The one with the long name?
Semyon Dur-Argu-Chintsev. I believe I'm pronouncing that improperly.
Masters sent out an email, and I was in my dressing room and tried to say it five times by myself, and I failed every time, and then I said, I'm just going to go with the short form. SDM?
SDA.
SDA.
I'm not kidding you when I say this. He looks like he's 12 years old. You know how that's always the throwaway? Mm-hmm. Look at this guy. He looks 12 years old. He actually looks 12 years old. Like, I can't believe how young and small he is.
And Johnny Gaudreau could be his father? That kind of
looks? Exactly. And just for that alone, I don't know enough about the kid. I think he came over from Russia and was playing in the GTHL.
Yeah, I think he had 50 points in 68 games in the O or something.
Yeah,
last
plays
year.
In Peterborough, I believe. They took him third, fourth round. I'm supporting him just because, A, his name, just to hear Bowen call it, and Miller and Cuthbert. But also, I mean, this would be a cool story. Small guy, looks that young. He's eons away from playing in the league, but sounds like they might give him a taste tonight.
Well, we had that Jack Hughes on Bob's ranking show early. By the way, really impressive kid talking to him. Some of those kids, when you do the interviews with the 17-year-olds, they can't get a sentence out. Not because they're just nervous.
How about Darlene last year?
Yeah.
Was that tough?
That was tough. Jack Hughes is going to be great. And his brother Quinn is the same, the kid who got drafted by Vancouver. But he's 163. They list him at 5'10". He's basically the same size Patrick Kane coming into the league. And I just think hockey's in a great place where guys like this still can be phenoms and dominate, because that wouldn't be the case 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, speaking of which, it's a good segue into the Max Domi, Aaron Ekblad stuff.
Mm-hmm. I thought that suspension was a joke, and I think preseason suspensions are just an utter... To not give him one game or two games of the regular season, it's just... If I'm Aaron Ekblad with a history of concussions, I'm going, that's...
Dude, that doesn't matter. You don't insane. Go up to somebody and say, oh, I shouldn't do this. This guy's got a concussion. Nobody gives a...
Okay, but I'm just saying, I said if I'm Aaron Ekblad, I think that's a joke that I get schmucked in the face, sucker punch like that, and the guy gets no punishment.
Yeah, well, you can say, you go in the corner and somebody cross checks you from behind, that sucks too. Get over it.
So what are you saying?
I don't know. Everyone's all outraged. It's like... The guy punched him in the head. It was stupid. He got the rest of the preseason. Big deal. All the fake outrage out there. Oh, this is just all the people coming out.
Why is it? Why is it
ping pong?
Why is it fake outrage though? If you sucker punch a guy in the face, you should get punishment. A preseason suspension is not punishment. I'm not standing here saying he should get 10 or 20 games like those kind of calls. Oh, but you have to send some kind of message, and a preseason suspension sends zero message whatsoever. So I'm sure if you were the one who got sucker punched in the face...
I got sucker punched in the face.
Okay, if you had like six concussions previous and apparently didn't have a concussion, so it was okay, I'm sure you wouldn't feel the exact same way. It was like Wardo and Scotty Walker.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, how many games did Scott Walker get?
No, I know.
Zero.
That was, if you go back to the Wardo scrum after that, that's pretty good TV.
But you bringing up his concussion past has been a big part of the dialogue. Now, this is an extreme example, because Domi, it was a greasy punch.
Yeah.
Drops his glove, and today Domi's like, I didn't mean to hurt him. Yes, you did. You drop your punch and pop a guy in the face. That's exactly what you're meaning to do. But... The idea of bringing up a player's concussion past, I think, in general, is unfair to the opposition.
No, that's...
You can't play the sport that way. It's
the only
physical...
point I'm trying to make is, if you are that guy, if you are Aaron Ekblad, and then you see that suspension, that has to frustrate you, because that could have been career-ending. It could be. If you have a history of concussions like that, he could miss 6 months because of that punch to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I were him, I would be really furious. I agree with you that Max Domi can't be sitting there when he's winding up going, oh yeah, this guy's got a history of concussion.
What about the whole retribution?
That's not going to happen.
It always happens. It won't happen in the next game. Maybe it's not Ekblad. Something. They have to now, right? Don't they have to get it over with? First time they play each other, Ekblad and Domi have to fight or whatever dumb hockey rules are.
But that's why this is such a complicated conversation.
Oh, because...
Like, well, but also, like, I've noticed there have been some takes where it's like, well, of course, now the Panthers are going to have to get retribution because the league didn't do anything.
And they said they were going to get retribution.
Right, but even if the league gave him 10 regular season games, that wouldn't change anything. Ekblad would still feel like, based on honor, or someone on that team, based on honor, it has nothing to do with the league's... contribution to the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I think people are actually off base here, where it's like, well, of course the Panthers are going to have to get retribution. The league is too soft to take care of it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Doesn't make a difference what the league did.
It's stupid.
The league gave them 50 games. The next time they played, they'd be like, all right, well, someone's still got to go fight them. You know, it has nothing to do with what the league does in terms of the way Ekblad and the Panthers are going to respond.
Yeah, I don't know if we're past that. Forever, the retribution thing was so dumb. What was the Leafs one when... I got them about 7-8 years ago, and it's the same thing. You know they're going to fight.
John Scott, Phil Kessel.
Yeah, that's what it was, wasn't it? And Or after, yeah, that's probably what it was. And then the next Scott comes in, and who does he fight? One of the tough guys on the Leafs at the time, right? Yeah, first shift, and then it's over with. And yeah, the whole thing is dumb. But again, like I said, I the point I'm trying to make that I made off the start is that I think preseason suspensions are a joke. So you might as well not suspend them at all.
Yeah.
So as a fellow dressing room guy, do you have any tips? So do you come in like street clothes and you keep your suits in your dressing room?
Well, you know, I have the double dressing room with the bathroom in the middle. This is more of a suite. You haven't got the suite yet.
I can
that'll
put a
take
toilet
you,
in
no,
there.
It'll take you four more years here.
And a couple of Emmys.
You can't get
included.
A toilet in there. I'll
put one in there.
I tried to push for the shower. The toilet's nice, you know, private moments. Because some of the toilets in this building...
Get
Chirino, right?
It's an old building.
So that's just me.
You got to have some spray, though.
Once in a while, some of the guys, I won't name panel guys, ask if they can use my toilet. That's a no-no. That's a no-go.
Someone's asked to use your toilet?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? I'll bet you've asked them before. Yeah. I'm shocked
never.
You haven't.
I didn't even know you had one. You have to admit I've
Ray
never.
Always wants to use my room and change in my room when he comes, you know, because he doesn't have a place. And then what you know what he does? He takes, like, because he's an idiot... He takes like the 100 ties that I have there, and he ties them all together because he thinks he's funny.
Yeah, that's stupid.
That is
no. I welcome.
Immature.
I know this is a big deal for you. You took a 40% pay cut just to get your dressing room. No, it's exciting for you.
Have you stepped foot in that room yet?
Oh yeah, I put my clothes in there yesterday.
Look at you. Bro.
You know what I'm gonna get? I don't know how much room you have. I want to get like one of those IKEA kind of. I want a bed because sometimes I need a nap. I come in for something, do the podcast, and then I got a game 4 hours later. So I'm going to get some sort of bed.
Cot.
I'm going to get a bed device in there.
All right, are you two done or what?
Me too.
Nobody cares about either of your
a futon. We should get matching futons.
Buddy, all you need is one of those things you put in pools. You know, the things you still lie on? You just lie it on the ground and put a blanket on it.
If you do that, I want a photo.
All right. I have to cut this off.
It's just like, please end
this
nightmare.
It's agonizing to hear the two of you talk about
this. Ratings have plummeted 80% for Overdrive in the last 4 minutes.
Anytime he talks like an idiot with somebody, it's good. But when it's me, it's
dude, who do I bring in to have a personal conversation about something as like unique as this?
It's work related.
When have I ever done that? Hey, come in, and I want to talk specifically about the pens that we use. Like, when have I ever put you in that kind of situation?
I would tell you to stop.
He's never been more excited than this dressing room.
He's pretty fired up.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Good seeing you.
Sens and Blackhawks tonight. If you don't get it in the Leafs region, find a bar.
Yes.
TSN 7.
Has to happen. Rubber Boots Podcast as well. Subscribe. Good man. Here's James Duthie.